It says we're live. Let's see if it's telling the truth. Do I see our picture on my profile? I do. I see us. Welcome, everybody, to this amazing client spotlight. Actually, one of my favorite ever clients. I mean, I love all my clients. But Brad and I have a special bond. I was his first client. And after we got done coaching, Brad called me and said, I'd like to hire you for a year to be my coach. And so, yes. And so, I'm very, very excited. Brad, would you be up for introducing yourself and who you are and what you do?
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me, James. My name is Brad Newman. I am a child of Earth, grew up on Earth. If you're not from Earth, weird. But people in the online digital marketing and coaching space know me from my time in high ticket sales and coaching over 1,500 owners in the last 5 years to help them sell out their trainings, their events, their masterminds, and all the systems and approaches that need to be had on that. So that's kind of what I do for my vocation. And part of the reason why I reached out to you, start our journey, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it cut out there for a minute. You said part of why you reached out to me was why?
Yeah, my vocation. Mm-hmm. And at this time, the reason I remember when I reached out to you to start our journey, I was growing really fast in a company that I was building with my girlfriend, Jackie. And I was also getting a lot of new business partner potential opportunities in this space. And I was just feeling really concerned that I was not going to be able to support all the new developments and uncomfortable actions I was going to need to take in order to sustain the outward success. And I had some health things that felt like was teetering. I had some relationship things that I felt like was teetering. I had then the business things that was growing really fast that I felt like was teetering. And I didn't have anyone to turn to. Not just for like emotional support, but also like a tactical game plan on how to like maneuver through the elements of my life that were happening in real time. And I think that's how I would kind of size up what was happening for me at the time and what was the impetus that made me reach out to you.
Yeah. And thank you so much for like opening that up. Cause I think what happens for, you know, a lot of people is, you know, they do enter these programs, right? Or they've gone through programs and they're really successful and they're either used to working with a therapist directly or they're doing coaching in the program. And I remember you said to me somewhere along the way, I think you were like, I think you said, James, most people are enrolled in education programs disguised as coaching, but what you do is actual coaching. Could you just, you know, for those that might be listening and maybe they are in a program and they're doing well or they're, you know, going through some of the things that you're mentioning, are you open to sharing what you saw as just kind of like the difference between being in those programs and the type of support that you ended up receiving?
Yeah, 100%. How I see education is linear knowledge. And how I see coaching is how to use that knowledge in a way that sticks and lasts forever, that is unique. And that's not going to come from just watching a video or putting in a question request about a piece of information that I don't have. It's how do I apply it to my life and my current belief systems and the current way I naturally operate in the world that works for me? How do I use the material in a way that works for me? And the only way that I've been able to get help to understand that is through really powerful coaching experiences and questions that you provided to help me see for myself on how to use it, right? Mm-hmm. Versus like, this is how you should use it, is like information. Brad, how do you see it using in this specific situation that you're currently being challenged with? That's coaching, to help me right. contextualize and use the information in a practical way.
Yeah. I love the way you frame that. I'm curious, what would you say is the biggest fear that you had to overcome to say, you know, to say yes to you, to work with me?
Yeah, great question. Thinking back, the biggest fear was that I was broken and that I wouldn't be able to use the coaching in a way that would get my return on investment. So the surface level fear is like, am I going to return the investment? But that really wasn't the fear. The real fear, the core level wound that to that, I proven myself in so many ways that when I build, I break. Like, is this another build and then break? Do I trust myself enough in order to ask for help and apply what's being asked of me in a way that will get me where I'm going to go? At another deeper level, the core belief was like, I'm broken. Mm. Like, I'm broken. Something's wrong with me. And that made me afraid that I wouldn't return my investment, which definitely wasn't true. that's to some manifestations results that your coaching helped me create. But that was like the hardest thing that I needed to be with my felt sense of inadequacy, of that I didn't feel like I was a whole person. And that's why I needed help, which is that's what I needed to overcome. But I wasn't committed to that story or that experience. What mm-hmm. I was committed to was, really the people in my life to really build a quality of life. And so I wrestled with it, but I acted beyond it because, you know, the alternative, they both suck. It's very, both sides are very uncomfortable. Just the one side of it, of going after towards what I want, being with that pain and the uncomfortability of saying yes to myself in a very powerful way, is there's more meat on the bone and more pride and more self-esteem and more results and more life potential from that side. Mm-hmm. From this side, it's like it leads me nowhere. So I would say that's probably the thing that I had to overcome to say yes.
Yeah, amazing. And so it really sounds like there was this element of realizing it was, you know, either one was going to be uncomfortable, and there was one that would, you know, committing to the coaching and overcoming those doubts was that there was more possibility there. It sounds like as opposed to, you know, just seeing that, I think you said like nothing on the bone there, like it's just a repeated pattern.
Yeah, 100%. And this is, you know, I've done this with our coaching and saying yes and showing up, and then done this, you know, this approach, which is like, you know, if anyone's ever considering working with you or investing in type of a training program or a coach, like the paradigm of will this work comes from a paradigm of black and white trauma thinking, mm-hmm. right? Because from my perspective of it's not a closed-ended question, it's a spectrum question. To what degree is this going to work? And to what degree am I going to put myself in a position to win? And at what probability? It's a probability game. It's a spectrum game. And then being, so for me, being able to see that, that I'm not playing a zero sum game. Will it work? Won't it work? It's just how well it's going to work. And what are the, am I increasing my probabilities of achieving, reducing my debt, selling a business, launching my business, feeling great? Am I increasing my probabilities of working with you? Or am I decreasing my probabilities by not working with you? So it's, right. it's a probability game. And so once I understood that, and that's why I continue to say yes to things like that. And that's why I said yes to commitment to get a to get you as my coach was, well, it's a problem. If I put myself in a winning position, the probabilities go up that I will win at what I'm trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And so we commenced coaching, and, you know, a year is, you know, that's a commitment, right? Like that's not a small commitment. That's a good sized commitment. And it was, you know, we labeled it as like the year of integrity. And you really did, you know, you had integrity and you followed through. I'm curious, what would you, you know, for those listening, what would you share were the most valuable wins for you or the tangible results? Might be two, you know, sometimes personal wins are different than tangible results, but yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple different spectrums of wins. The first win was choosing you as a coach for a year. Mm. Right? For anyone who's looking for coaching to transform, a year, from my experience, there's enough time horizon to see all the patterns and how they show up. And so I needed someone that I knew that from a year from now, they are going to be more developed and they're still going to be there. Right. That's mm-hmm. like, and so like, you know, we were working together before that. I had so much trust in you and how you show up for the world. Reliable. Like you were just reliable. And I liked how you lived your life. I liked how you grew your business. I loved your approach, your heart, your consistency, and your power. And so the year long was, that was a result. That was a tangible result. Like, can I stay in mm-hmm. a committed relationship, growth-oriented commitment for a year without freaking the fuck out? And going sideways and switching directions and getting resentful and not expressing my needs and avoiding, right? All the thing. And like that definitely did happen, but you created a safe enough space for who you are for a long enough time horizon that, you know, I was kind of like in my own little way, like a rescue dog, like a battered little dog of like, is this a safe home? Is this a safe home? Is this a safe home? And I need, you held that space for me to constantly come back to our coaching containers. And, you know, you were firm, but fair, and you always led to the best possible good for both of us. And so like that was, you know, for someone like me, someone who's been in rehab and, you know, psych wards and have had a pattern of build and burn, being in something that was consistent was a huge win for my system and for my mm-hmm. confidence that I can do something with someone on a long-term time horizon. And so that safety and that consistency with you over the course of the year allowed me to create some really cool, never before seen results in my personal life and my professional life, because there was a foundation there and a time horizon there that allowed me to do that. So paid off three taxes. Cool. Mm-hmm. Old a company.
Yeah.
Cool. I showed up for my relationship with Jackie in new ways. Like, for whatever reason, my life was created in a way where like I didn't celebrate holidays or buy people gifts or create intimacy or romantic moments. I created more, wrapped more presents, went on more dates, created more intimacy with my girlfriend than I ever had in my entire life. So I made the most money. I created, put the foundational pieces of a relationship together that I never had before, paid off back taxes, 3 years worth. And we didn't even, like, I took steps towards my mental health that I would have never taken alone. You helped me navigate the waters of the Aiming Clinic to get a brain scan, to get on a brain treatment plan that totally altered the course of my mental health. And without that, I would not, with any of, none of those things, those were areas of my life that I was literally avoiding and struggling with for years by myself, giving up, trying, giving up. And our time together really allowed me to create that with your help. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's, you know, I always knew that was possible, but like you really were a true coach, where you coached me through the situations as they were rising up, because in those situations I met reality, and that situation, those are all uncomfortable situations I was avoiding. I wanted to run the fuck away, or just kick the can down the road, or say it's too big. No, you as a coach helped me navigate those waters in real fucking time, where I was like, oh, that was scary, but not as scary as I thought. And I made it through and I created the result. Cool. This fucking coaching shit is cool. It works.
Yeah. I love the way that you frame that too, because I think, you know, a lot of times people think if they just have the how-to or they just have the vision that's all they need. And, you know, I think just especially with this theme that, you know, the year of integrity, just the way that you continue to show up and do what actually most people do, right? To honestly say, I'm freaking the fuck out. Or I don't know what to do in this situation, or I'm scared, or you know what? I know what to do, but I haven't taken these actions. And we were able to actually work on what was there, what's coming up, and to move through it. Which makes me think of, you know, from the experience while working together, did anything surprise you, or how would you describe that to someone of what it's actually, you know, the process of working together is like?
Yeah, I would say that what defines your coaching, in my perspective of what it's like to work together, is the unique approaches that you have, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not exactly about, you know, I think of like football. Everyone knows that everyone can run a play, a run to the right. But like, why do people do it more successfully than others? It's because they have a different approach when they read the defense. Mm-hmm. And they have a different approach and a different mindset of how to approach the situation that will lead to a higher likelihood of the outcome. So like, your coaching ranged depending on what the needs I was expressing that I didn't even know I needed, where it ranged from like some serious hand holding through like the most difficult, perceived difficult, shameful areas of life, like mental health. Like, you literally sat on the phone with me on Zoom so that I would have someone there with me to make those calls, because the stigma and the judgment was so high.
Yeah.
Two, you know, helping me through negotiations and like helping me role play some things of approaches of how to talk and how to angle and like how to align some nonviolent communication. Two, sometimes just holding the space for me to process my own emotions so I can come back to center in order to come to my own conclusion in order to see the path forward. Two, NLP, all different types of approaches depending on what the situation called for. And I think that really just goes to show like your skill level of all the training and education and development and coaching you've done and you've received to be able to have the sensory acuity in the moment to adapt your approaches to help me depending on what the situation is calling for. So a lot of the time it felt like if we weren't making a movement, you're like, you had another tool in the tool belt, be like, well, let's try this one then. Let's mm-hmm. try this one. And so, you know, that is like, that's how I know, you know, if you look at Tony Robbins, like if he's not helping someone get a breakthrough, he just doesn't see a nail and a hammer where he's just like, well, you're screwed, but I'm still going to hammer you.
Right.
Different techniques, approaches, and paradigms in order to try to help shift and move somebody. So that was my experience.
Wow. That's, yeah, I really love the way that you shared that. Cause I think, you know, from my perspective, part of the work was helping you figure out how to do that in an aligned way. Cause I think, you know, again, with this idea of what we know to do or have an idea to do, there's so many, you know, people vary that it's finding like what works for you and just your personality type and where you're at and where that's growing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you did our coaching together really, you know, made me a better coach.
Mm.
You know, it made me more adaptive to my clients and to what I was holding space for them helping them through their meanings that they're mm-hmm. giving things, their charged emotions as they approach new uncomfortable things, the space, and do they need hand holding or do they need a little bit more firmness here in order to like fly a little bit? And so, yeah, 100%, 100%.
Yeah. And so what do things look like now for you? You know, having gone through that year, I'm curious, what you'd share of life is like now.
Yeah, this is like a quote that I think I made up, but I don't know.
I'll
attribute it to me for now until I read it else somewhere and someone else trademark it. But I think, you know, what our coaching did for me is the quote that, you know, people who have high self-esteem they perform the highest,
mm.
you know, like the people who feel really good about who they are, know who they are, like who they are, typically will just produce results that match the level of feeling deserved to produce those results. And so our coaching together really gave me my first big bite of self-esteem that I had in a long while, that I could feel good about myself in a way that created a reality that was better for me and better for those people around me. So, you know, since that time, I mean, wow. Like I literally am still with the same girlfriend
mm-hmm.
and our relationship is at new levels of safety and love and kindness and friendship and romance and passion than it's ever been. My impulse to run away has greatly diminished. I feel way safer in relationships with others. My proaction to take care of my mental health, I'm now on medication for the first time in 10 years. That has been working like gangbusters.
Mm.
And I'm on a treatment plan that I'm following that's working like gangbusters. If it's ever called me celery juice and taking care of my nutrition and my health, like, was my wrap. And of course, you know, the business and economic results are there where I sold the business and I was able to experience my first mini retirement. And now I'm launching a weekend workshop where I'm helping people figure out all their systems in order to decrease someone's resistance to change so they can max out their client rosters. But what's different is that I am at the visceral sense of peace that I have as I'm building this. It's just like, I'm sitting here like, this is cool, this is cool, this is cool, versus what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck. And that's going to produce just a better experience for everyone. So, you know, it really truly is an internal out job. And I think the work in integrity that we did together of like being my word and feeling safe to be my word towards others has rippled in every single area of my life consistently. It was such a foundational approach that I still honor and work today.
Amazing. Wow. That's beautiful. And I love you sharing that. And, you know, it makes me think of, you know, when we had a conversation before, I remember you said, you know, before in coaching, you kind of looked for, because maybe you had grown up in sports, the person that was, you know, like very direct, sort of like, you know, wants to whip you out for like a better, lack of a better phrase. Part of the experience and part of the approach is really having a lot of love and patience. What would you share with someone who is maybe used to that type of coaching, just to, so they have, I guess they have a sense of that style and what it does?
Yeah, great question. So for anyone listening, the coaching that I was used to was like wrestling coaching, combat sports coaching, very intense, aggressive, fear of punishment, militaristic type of training and development. And so when I hired James, you know, that's just like what got me going. Like, I was a star athlete. It's like I used to lift weights. And so fitness coach, it's just like it was the approach that proved itself to work to get me moving on the material or on the action. And my system was so addicted and expectant that is how I need to be talked to in order to get moving, that when I started working with you, James, that it was like my system started freaking out. Like, I didn't say it because you were yelling at me, which is sick and twisted, right? Now that I kind of size it up like that. But if there wasn't a fear of punishment in the coaching, or fear of being aggressed, or fear of being scolded, or fear of, like, if there wasn't that type of fear motivation, I wouldn't do anything. So I remember there was a bunch of times in my coaching, I was like, man, I was just expecting you to fucking yell at me. And there was like past coaching trauma that I needed to unlearn and integrate and forgive to actually receive heartfelt, long-lasting, quality coaching that you provide. And so I would say anyone who's like being with a coach, and like if it gets you motivated to like getting really intense and aggressive and assertive, gets you motivated in action, I would say there's nothing wrong with that. It's just it's an external locus of control. I'm only doing something because someone else is aggressing, or there's energy outside of me, versus an internal locus of control where I'm sourcing my own motivation, and someone else is just helping me guide and extract that, which is sustainable fuel. Everything else is like unsustainable. And so in my experience, because, you know, it's really now what I know to be true about it, is like, I'm a big practicer and studier of nonviolent communication. And like that way of coaching by the nonviolent communication standard is a violent form, an abusive form, low level, but still abusive, where my system was like, I won't do anything unless I'm yelled at or scolded or threatened. Like, I needed to be threatened in order to get moving. So that is a part that our relationship together was actually like deeply therapeutic. This is not something there was a couple of things, a couple of times we brought it up, but just what the relationship was deeply therapeutic for me of like, oh, there's like, it's like being in an abusive relationship and then being in a healthy relationship, thinking the healthy relationship is bullshit. You're like, what the fuck is this? So thank you. Like that, I mean, that's what I would say about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason why I asked that, you know, I just love the way that you give those comparisons. Cause I think that's what happens for a lot of people is they say, I really want, I want an accountability coach or I want these things. And it's very much an external, right? Unless someone's holding me to a deadline, unless someone's doing these things, I'm not going to move into action. And so when you said, part of the work was it started to come from inside you, that internal motivation and like that source and that energy that, you know, you're able to get yourself going, you're able to do things because you want to do them. It's no longer, fully reliant upon, someone threatening you in some form, whether it's a boss or whatever it may be. I'm curious, what would you say to someone who's, you know, on the fence in terms of coaching? You know, because right now I don't have a specific offer out there. I'm very much like have a conversation with someone and they're the program. Right. So what would you say to someone who might be, well, at least at the point of this, I'm working on something new. But in terms of someone who maybe has been debating or on the fence of either reaching out or they might be thinking, I see James helps people, you know, what should I do here? I'm curious what you would say to someone on the fence.
Someone on the fence working with you, what would I say? A couple things are coming through. First thing that comes through, cliche, but it's so true in my experience, is that like the reason you can't is the reason you must. And what that means for me is whatever perspective that is keeping you from saying maybe later, money, not for me, too soon, too long, whatever that perspective is that is in the way, that is causing too much resistance to change, literally is the signal to commit to change it. I don't know how else to explain it. Right. If someone is like really sick and tired of their circumstances, the reason they can't is the reason they must. Mm-hmm. And so working with you specifically versus someone else is like, I mean, James, what you gave me is like, when you say you're the program, I don't think people really get what that means. Right. Like what you did for me was like, you during our coaching together, as I was sharing these like super subtle, low intensity, unnurtured desires, needs, and wants that are like less on my priority of like something to explore or something to take care of myself with or something to go after or something to do, you would take that as the highest priority of, let's get Brad a book on that. Let's get Brad tickets on that. Let's put Brad in a situation where that internal low whisper desire and want and self-care that no one has ever nurtured before, not even Brad, gets to be nurtured and brought to life. And that's where the internal self-motivation happens. And that's why it's super uncomfortable because it's new. It's like, oh, I want a garden. We talked about gardening for a ton of time. I want to learn how to give gifts better. I felt really shameful that I didn't know how to give gifts, or like I would literally wait, like I would have panic attacks about Christmas, about birthdays, about Valentine's Day, of like all these gifts. I'm like, Like these are like these little things in life that I was keeping me stuck from my true self, that, you know, beyond the big results that I made, it's like these little moments that you can see that, like, when you say on the program, what I made that mean was like, whatever whispers that I have about my truest desires and my truest gifts that are going unnurtured, you have a nice little eye and keen ear to bring that to surface and nurture that authentically to me. And that's what every single coaching session was for me. And that's why you can't get this in a training or education program, because it's all linear knowledge of something you don't know. You're coaching the parts of myself that are, that I do know, that I'm just not willing to recognize, or that I just don't feel safe nurturing, which is like sustainable change 101. So, you know, if you're on the fence, if that's like an inside out approach you're looking for, like, James is 100% the best person on planet Earth that I have found.
I love you.
I love you.
Last question.
Last answer.
I'm curious. Do you have a favorite moment? I have a favorite moment, so I'll share mine after yours.
Oh man, there were a lot of good moments. Oh man. I mean, you were just at the critical, you were at so many critical moments. It's crazy. Paying on the phone with the government, on the phone with the mental health, on the phone with, you know, negotiations, on helping me gift. Like, man, you just fucking helped me. What was my favorite fucking moment? Yeah, I got my favorite moment. I'm kidding. It might be insignificant to you, but I told you when we were working on some money beliefs, I told you that when I was a kid, I used to have this piggy bank, and I used to love, as the Jew that I am, I used to love collecting quarters and dimes and nickels and I love just putting the money in the money bank and then dumping it all on the floor and just like counting it. And that was like money love and seduction for me. And I was just sharing that randomly on one call. And this was like, we were working money beliefs because we were negotiation, taxes, and all this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I walked outside one day and there was a gift from Amazon. And I opened the gift and it was a piggy bank. And on the piggy bank, it was from James. And on the piggy bank, when you open up the nose, it says, "You matter." Because we went through a bunch of like languaging understanding of with my experience and relationship with money and others, was that I had this belief and languaging pattern that said, "I don't matter." And I came to you and I was like, dude, I'm literally not creating physical matter in this by this belief saying I don't matter. So I was like, man, it's not like a judgment thing. It's just like I'm telling the physical universe to not form mm-hmm. in matter. And then you bought a piggy bank that says you matter. And I'm like, and I still have that piggy bank and I still have, it's still on my counter in my kitchen. And it's like, that is one of like a thousand different like little micro coaching nurturing that you did. But I mean, I think that one just like blew me away. Cool. I can talk about it upon other. Yeah, I'm curious what yours are though.
Mine was, I mean, there's two moments. One is I brought you through a process of, I think, really coaching yourself. I remember it was like a process of having each thought in like a different hand. But I remember you going through that, and you were able to hold all the different thoughts and all the different ideas and really produce it for yourself to come to your own like understanding. But the one that's really standing out to me is you sharing that, you know, like having a Christmas was something that you know hadn't really had or not to the extent that you like had felt or desired as much in the past. And so I just remember being like, Brad's gonna have a Christmas.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, just sending you like I saw the video. I love it of just you opening like this giant box of like gifts, and I like kept track during the year of like things that were important to you that you wanted or were trying to do. Yeah.
I remember that was the best Christmas I've ever had, James. The gifts just kept coming, and I was like, it was such a perfectly practical application of like receipt, like how I feel and how I approach receiving. And man, talk about it's not just coaching on a Zoom call, right? It's like what I'm doing with the coaching out in real life. And like you created so many moments and environments and applications for me to practice and nurture the parts of my life that I wanted to come alive that were dormant. And I just like, I can't thank you enough. I really can't. Thank you.
You're amazing. Thank you. Well, thank you, Brad, for just opening this up, sharing for people to get an idea of what what's possible, what coaching is like, and also so people can get familiar with you if they're new to you. Where do you recommend they go? Your Facebook?
Facebook profile. Brad Newman on Facebook, Brad New on Instagram, and I'm always dropping some awesome trainings and educations on growing your coaching and your service and your expert-based business. And so, yeah, just hit me up. Happy to give any type of trainings you need on sales, marketing, clients. So that's the vocation. That's where you can find me.
Cool. Awesome. And for anyone that's interested in coaching with me, you can go to jmwhiteman.com or my Facebook profile and shoot me a message. And it's a conversation. That's all it is.
100%. Do it 100%, 100 million%. Even my family wants to coach with you. I'm even connecting James with my dad because he's been so impactful for me. And so, yeah, just definitely do it.
Love it. I'll see you.
Cool. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head on over to jmwhiteman.com so you can see how to bring your legacy and your leadership in business to the next level. I'll see you in the next episode.